I say he's so good. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. At this time, we do want to dismiss our young people. Hallelujah. Truly, it's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord once again. And I will be delivering the word. Thank the Lord. It's a little shock. But Bible says, be always ready. Hallelujah. I just want to thank God. You know, I was listening to Minister Simon's prayer as he was praying, and I just got so excited. You might ask, like, yo, how can you get excited being that? What, you know, what's going on? Not just here, not just, you know, what might be personal in your life, not what might be personal in my life, but what's going on down in Georgia. You know, what's going on around the world in the body of Christ. How can you get excited? How can you get excited? Right now is the time where God wants to show off. He wants to show out. He wants to prove himself. Hallelujah. And, you know, he can't always prove himself when things are going good. Because it's harder for us to see it when things are going so good, when God is proving himself and providing miracles and opening up doors. Sometimes when things are going good, we don't notice it. And so when we don't notice it, we don't give him what he deserves. And that's the glory, the honor, and the praise. So sometimes, like it says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time and there's a season for everything. Just like the four seasons that are out there right now, it's cloudy, it's rainy, it's a little chilly and everything like that. But that's what's needed for what's to come. If the rain and the clouds don't come, next the flowers don't come, the trees don't bloom right. So right now is our rainy season. It's our cloudy season. It might be dark right now. But don't stay right here. Just expect for what's coming. Have a spirit of expectation for what's coming. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm sorry. I'm excited. Truly, I thank God for my just being here in the house of God once again. For his goodness and his mercy. For his mercies that are renewed every morning. Thank God for my wife and my children, my pastor, my sister pastor. I just thank God for this body of Christ and how it has helped me personally in my life. Today I would like, if you will please, to turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, I know a lot of you are familiar with this scripture. Right now, I want to talk to you about the mindset of the children of Israel when they were in their rainy season, in their cloudy season. What was their mindset? How were they in the midst of it? You know, a lot of times we get up here and we say, praise the Lord. No matter what you're going through, praise the Lord in the midst of it. Yeah, that does sound good. I know it does sound good, but to actually carry out those praises and those worships in the midst of uncertainty. And I know Minister prayed and he said, for the drastic changes. Sometimes these uncertainties come upon you drastically, where they hit you blindsided, and sometimes our humanistic ways react the wrong way. We react fleshly. And so I want to focus on the mindset of being in the midst of the cloudy season. I haven't even given this a title. You know, truly I thank God for this opportunity, Elder Man, thank you. I was sitting down there, I was sitting at the table getting a bite to eat, and Elder Kim called me. I have his name programmed on the phone. And so I'm like, oh boy. I said, two things is gonna happen here. Either when the phone's ringing, I'm like, either service is canceled or he's gonna ask me to speak. And I'm like, So I answer the phone, like, hello? And he's like, yeah, minister. He's like, you got the word tonight? And I can never say no. But, you know, I thank God for this opportunity, you know, just to tell you how good God has been to me. Now, I want to read verses 17 through 20. Verses 17 through 20. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow, and I will get my honor upon Pharaoh and upon his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten my honor. Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Let us just sing a word of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to thank you. Lord God, we want to thank you for another opportunity that you have given us to assemble ourselves together and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord God, we ask that your word, that the anointing fall upon your word. Lord God, you already know the needs of your people here right now, Lord God. You know the condition of their mind. You know the condition of their circumstances right now. Heavenly Father, we ask right now, Lord God, that you meet their need right where they're at, Lord. Send a word from heaven right now. Send manna from on high, Lord Jesus. Send your anointing, Lord God. Break yokes, Lord God. Deliver right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, encourage somebody to want to run on and see what the end is going to be. Lord God, we thank you. We love you. We adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, just going back a little bit, you know, when the story of the children of Israel being in a place where they had the Egyptians behind them and the sea in front of them, and they weren't sure on how they were going to be delivered. They weren't sure. They didn't have the mindset, number one, to rely or think that, you know, God is going to see us through. Their faith wasn't there. And so Moses, being their pastor for say, is trying to encourage them, you know, like the Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But still, let's read just a little bit. Let's go to verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dwelt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? So a lot of situations, like how we said, a lot of uncertainties come upon us quickly, our mindset, our initial mindset is like, God, how did you let this happen? I thought you said you loved me. I thought you said you're gonna make things better for me. How can you allow this situation to happen? And I want you to put your personal situation on your mind right now. I know what mine is. And sometimes I ask God, why? And if I was to give this message a title, it would be, why, Lord? Why, Lord? I know sometimes, I know back when I was coming up, you don't never question God. Never. He used to get smacked for that. But sometimes the realistic situation, when there's nothing else to think about, is why, Lord? Why is this like this? How could you let this happen? And I've been faithful and I've been going to prayer every day, going to church all the time, and I've been tithing right. How can you let this happen? Let's get down real quick. It says here in verse 17, and I, behold, I will hinder the heart of the Egyptians, harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get my honor. I will get my honor. So the reason why God allows different situations, impossible situations, uncertain situations that are beyond your control, is He wants to be honored. He wants to be glorified. He wants the praise. Hallelujah. Now, if He allows a small situation that we can control, that we can take care of, there's a bill that, you know, needs to be paid and we have the money in the bank, all we have to do is go swipe the card and the problem's done. How is He getting the honor? But it's in situations like the children of Israel right here, where they had absolutely nothing they could do. There was no way they could build a boat real quick and sail across the sea. There was no way. They didn't have the material. There was no way that they had enough tribes to fight against the Egyptian army. It would have been a slaughter. So what else could they do but rely on the one true and only living God? See, sometimes our initial humanistic reaction to our situations is to ask God why, cry out to God, get mad at God, go away from God. But that's not what the situations are for. The situations are used to draw you closer to God. So what's being right here in our cloudy season? I know that for my mother, for instance, and I hope she doesn't mind me using her as an example, but I can't imagine being at a place for 14 years faithfully, and then one day they just come, you come into work like normal, and boom, we no longer need you, goodbye. I can't imagine that. Now right here, right there, when they said goodbye, we don't need you no more, boom. The Egyptians are here, the Red Sea is here. The Red Sea represents everything that the bills, the gas in the car payment, the all the essentials of living. Now without an income, I know my mom, you know, is not wealthy. Trust me, if she was wealthy, I'd be good right now. But I know she's not wealthy, so right there, right in that very moment, was the uncertainty. How am I gonna do this? The children of Israel in front of the red, in front of the sea, how are we gonna escape? Right then and there, that's where God wants the honor. That's where God starts and begins the work. When it's impossible with men. Hallelujah. When there's nothing that we can do. There's nothing, there's no bank card that can fix the problem. We can't go back to the job because they just said that we're fired, we're laid off. What are you gonna go back and do? Go postal. And then that'll lead to a jail. So you had to, what do you do? What do you do in that situation? In between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, what do you do? The Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What is the salvation of the Lord? What is the salvation of the Lord? You see, if you read the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus is God in the flesh. So when you read about all the miracles that took place, when you read about Joseph, how he went from the pit to the palace, when you read about Moses, how they made fun of him, and how he worked through all the adversity, when you just read about all the miracles Daniel and the lions did, all the situations, all the uncertain situations that people were in, godly people, believers of the one true God, what did they do in that uncertain situation? They called upon the name of the Lord. They called upon the name of the Lord. They stood still and just waited for the salvation of the Lord to manifest itself. Hallelujah. And I gotta tell you,
you know, I was thinking today at
You know, I'm just thinking about different people's situations. And, you know, the Lord just began to, like, put, you know, just minister to me and say, it's time for people to come out of their comfort zones. It's time for people to step out of the boat like Peter and have faith. It's time to move. It's time to shift. You've been in one place too long. Like it says in Exodus, in Deuteronomy, when the children of Israel went, they moved on. But they stayed at this one mountain for too long. And God giving Moses and Joshua the words to say to the children of Israel said, you've dwelled here too long. It's time to move. The only way to move is if I push you. Because if you sit there, you're not going to move. If I allow you to sit there and get comfortable, put your feet up and pop popcorn and stuff like that, you're never going to move. So what I have to do to you is allow these uncertain situations to come in your life. To move you. It's time to exercise our faith in these uncertain times. In these times that we don't have control. In these times where there's nothing we can do to fix it. In times where we're standing in the middle of the situation and we're asking God why. It's time to exercise faith. Hallelujah. 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 It's not time to get upset with God and move away from God. It's not time to dwell on asking God why. Because sometimes I find myself asking God why, but you can't stay there. You cannot dwell there. Because if you dwell there, the devil's going to be right there. And then if you dwell there with that question why in your mind, then he's going to start feeding you a bunch of lies. He's going to start saying, oh, God doesn't really love you. God was never there. God brought you here. He's not, there's nothing he can do to get you out of here. Don't dwell there. Don't dwell on the question why. Why God? The Bible says that in Jeremiah, he said, my thoughts are higher than yours. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. They're of good and not of evil. You see, there's a method to what seems to us, there's a method to the madness. There's a method to the middle place. There's a method to being in between the Red Sea and in between Pharaoh's army. And that is according to the will of God for your life. It's not meant for you to draw away from God. It's meant for you to draw nigh to God. It's meant for your faith to increase, for your trust in God to increase. It's meant for spiritual boldness. It's meant for faith. It's meant for acting on faith. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but Lord, I trust and believe that you're going to see me through. When the devil is playing on your mind, when you're caught in that middle place asking God why, it's time to use the power of the tongue and start speaking life into your situation. To start speaking those things that are not as they were. Lord, I know I don't have a job right now, but Lord, I know that you're going to provide. Lord, the mindset of the middle of the uncertain situation. It's time to act on faith. It's time to walk by faith and not by sight. It's time to think by faith. Because I know, like the example I use with my mother, when you lose your job, you lose your income, and you start to think, oh man, how am I gonna pay this? How am I gonna pay that? How am I gonna pay this? All the financial burdens that I have, how am I gonna do this? It's time to think by faith. When those thoughts of negativity and lies, when the devil puts it in your head, you rebuke it right away. And you think by faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to go to verse 19. This is you in your situation in the middle of the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. Verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. What is that saying? No matter what it may seem like to you in this uncertain situation, no matter how bad it may seem, the scripture says God will be a fence all around you. He said, I'll keep my angels charged over you. No matter what situation you may be in, just know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. I thank God for the word. The word is so true. The word is so encouraging. Hallelujah. He said, I'll be a fence all around you. He said, never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed being bright. Meaning, no matter what, if it's financial, if it's a roof over your head, whatever the situation is, God will meet your need. Don't worry about it. Like it says in Matthew, don't worry about it. Don't worry, be happy. Hallelujah. Be happy. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength in this uncertain situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God is going to meet your need. No matter what it is. Hallelujah. Just hold on to your unchanging faith. I love the song that the praise team sings. I never lost my faith. Hallelujah. I never lost my hope. I never lost my joy. No matter what the situation, no matter what situation may come my way, hold on to your faith. It's the only sure thing. Hold on to your word. It's the only true thing in this perishing world. Hallelujah. And I don't want to be before you much longer, but I want to encourage you to let the uncertain situation, the sudden uncertain situation that God has allowed in your life, let it be a stepping stool. Let it draw you closer to God. Don't let it draw away. Don't let it draw you away from the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Learn how to worship in the midst of it. And I'm not just saying that. Learn how to worship in the uncertain situation. Because it's in your worship that God begins to move. He inhabits the worship of his people. He lives and dwells in the worship of his people. So no matter what the situation, don't let the situation dictate your worship. Because if you stop your worship, where your mind is at, where I don't know what I'm going to do. That's where God wants you. That's where God wants you. It's right there. Because that's where God says, sit back, waiting for you to be like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's where he wants you. You see, we slow down the process of God moving in our lives. Because when we get in that middle situation, when we get in that uncertain situation, we begin to just do a lot of moving around. We try to fix things. We try to be like, I can do this. If I do this, I can get out of here. If I do this, if I say that, then I'm gonna do this. But God wants you to be like, Lord, I don't know what to do. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stop all that moving around. There's nothing you can do. There's absolutely nothing you can do. Just stand still. I know if Jesus was to, you know, stand in front of us sometimes when we get in our uncertain situations, he would just be like, yo, stop. Stop moving. I don't know if anybody ever babysat a toddler. A 2-year-old or 1.5-year-old, they just don't sit still. You sit them down and try to give them something to eat, they're just moving around and they don't even know why they're moving. You just want to be like, yo, stop, sit still, just stay there. As soon as you turn around, they're over there. But that's a lot of us with God. That's a lot of us in our uncertain situations. God,
stand still
Stop the mind from racing. Stop trying to figure it out, because God already worked it out. Stop, get your bearings, Lord. Okay, Lord, take over. The next time you're in your uncertain situation, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Those that are in Christ shall suffer persecution. The devil is going to fight you tooth and nail to try to get you to turn around, to try to get you to doubt God, to try to get you to doubt His word, doubt His promises, to try to get you to put the situation in your own hands. Because if you put the situation in your own hands, guess what? We're just going to mess it up even more. So the devil's going to try and fight you. He's going to use what God is allowing in your life. He's going to use it for His purpose. But God has ordained it for His purpose, which is good and not an evil. So the next time you're in your uncertain situation, stop. Take a deep breath and then stand still. Let your mind stand still and wait on the Lord. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's time to come out of our comfort zones. It's time to increase our faith, increase our trust in the Lord. It's time for those that have grown stagnant in the Lord. God is moving. God is pushing you. God is saying, all right, you dwell here too long. It's time to move. You cannot get to the next mountaintop if you sit here any longer. So I'm going to allow these situations to keep coming into your life until you move. Don't figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. Let the Lord work it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.